Good day, everyone, and welcome to the FirstShip Lease Trust first quarter 2010 results conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks, I would like to turn the call over to your moderator for today, Mr. Chin Fung Lee, Investor and Public Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you and welcome, everyone, to FirstShip Lease Trust first quarter 2010 earnings conference call. I'm joined today by our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Philip Clausius, and Chief Financial Officer, Chong Qi Tung. Our first quarter earnings release and updated financial statements were released yesterday at approximately 6:39 P.M. Singapore time, and it can be found on our website at www.fsltrust.com. As we begin our call, let me remind everyone that today's conference call contains forward-looking statements based on the environment as we currently see it, and as such, does include risks and uncertainties. We will have a Q&A session at the end of the presentation. With that, let me hand it over to Mr. Philip Clausius to start off with the results highlights. Philip.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everybody in Asia, and good evening to our friends in the United States. Let me walk you briefly through the highlights of the last quarter, which I would broadly describe as uneventful, which probably is a good thing given the state of the industry that we are still in. First quarter revenue for the financial year 2010 came out flat at, or roughly flat at, about $24.4 million. As you know, we have two leases which are on a floating rate basis, so we have slight variances from quarter to quarter, but all the 23 ships have been performing to expectations. All the customers have been paying, no surprises there. As such, the net cash that we have generated from operations is roughly on a par with previous quarters, as you would expect. On the basis of all of that, we are declaring once again a distribution of $0.015 per unit for this quarter, which is exactly what we have guided at previously. We do note that of late, the unit price has improved ever so slightly, so that $0.015 today represents a distribution yield of about 13% annualized. Again, based on our stable business model and the stable cash flows that we generate, we once again give guidance for the next quarter as per our usual practice of a distribution of $0.015 again for the quarter that we are currently in, the second quarter of 2010. You can expect us to announce results for that quarter towards the end of July as per usual practice. Just to remind you of a few of the portfolio highlights, I am now on slide five of our presentation. We own today 23 ships. As at the end of March of this year, the remaining contracted revenue, I'm referring here to the base lease terms, was about $730 million, with an average remaining lease term of seven and a half years for the ships. Maybe I should also remind you that we have no lease expiry before the year 2014. The average age of the vessels is a shade under 5 years, and again, earliest lease maturity in 2014. Now, one of the things, one of the points that I know some of you are keenly interested in is this whole subject of charter-free valuation of our fleet. As you know, that is an important data point primarily for our senior secured loans with our bank lenders, as that is a driver of one of our covenants. I'm pleased to report that the fleet was revalued on a charter-free basis, again excluding the lease agreements that are attached to these ships. In other words, what would I get for these ships today if I had to sell them free of any employment agreements? At the end of March, this valuation came out at $623 million versus about $590 million when it was last done in October. You can see an increase of about 5.5%, which is comforting and which I think confirms what we have said in our January conference call when we were alluding to the fact that we think asset values in our industry are bottoming out. In fact, we have seen a modest recovery here. If you look at our fleet as a whole, you know that the big drivers or the big sectors in our portfolio are A, tankers, and B, container ships. The most significant increase in value between October and now we have seen in the container ships. Now, I will also tell you that we were one of the very few ones last year who went out and actually sought charter-free values for container ships. Obviously in October, those were very depressed, but we are very heartened to see that there has been quite a substantial recovery in container ship values. Where does that all leave us? At the end of March, the ratio of value to outstanding secured loan, therefore, was 129%. That ratio has further improved because we have, subsequent to the balance sheet date, we have paid down the loan by a further, I think, $7 million. I think as of today, this ratio stands at 130%-131%. As you know, until June next year, the minimum threshold with which we have to comply is 100%. We have a very, very comfortable safety margin at this point. As you know, we continue to pay down secured debt at $8 million a quarter. I think we are well on our way to preparing ourselves for getting out of this loan amendment period, which as you know, ends by the middle of next year. By Q3 2011, we have to be in compliance with the 145% threshold, as was previously the case. Given the facts now, given where the values are trending, and given the fact that we continue to pay the loan down, we think we are well on our way to actually meeting this quite comfortably. That is an important data point for this quarter. Now, again, slide six shows you the revenue backlog. Most of you have seen that before. No changes there. Again, it's testament to our very stable business model, so I don't think I need to delve very much more on that. Slide seven, once again, gives you the revenue breakdown by lessee and by vessel type. I should point out once more that our largest cost customer by revenue contribution is Yang Ming. Obviously a credit we are very, very comfortable with. I have to say, pretty much as we are with all of our other customers, because the performance from all of them to this date has been spot on, and that gives us a lot of confidence as we are now, you know, six quarters into the crisis, and there were no issues with payment performance by any of these customers, and that is obviously a very encouraging sign. With that, I turn it over to our CFO, Chi Tam, who will walk you through the financials, and then I will make some closing statements before we will open it up for Q&A. Chi Tam?
Thank you, Philip. Good morning and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As you can see from slide nine, it shows our consolidated income statement. It is a predictable quarter the last four quarters, all our leases are continuing to perform, and there are no surprises here as because the vessel portfolio also remains unchanged at 23 vessels. If you look at the top line, the revenue, there's a slight decline, marginal decline, and the reason was because of two leases which were on a floating rate basis, and as you know, the LIBOR has declined since first quarter 2009 to now. If you look at operating expenses, it's held steady at about 17 million, and the operating expenses comprise mainly depreciation and management fees to the trustee manager. And if you look at finance expenses, these were the interest that we pay to our banks, and it's slightly higher, 5.6% higher, and the main reason was because we did an amendment with our lenders, and as a result of that, we are paying between 50 to 70 basis points more in terms of the margin to the banks. So this led us to the profit line, which shows a decline of about 55%, and the main reason for this is due to the higher interest expense that we are paying. Turning to page slide 10, here we show our distribution statement. So in terms of cash generated from operations, the trust reported net cash generation of about 16.3 million, slightly lower than the same quarter last year. Out of this 16.3 million, we used 8 million to pay down our debt as part of the regular debt amortization, and the balance used for distribution to unit holders. As we have mentioned earlier, we have declared a 0.015 distribution for the quarter, and this will be paid on 26th of May 2010. Going on to the balance sheet on slide 11, as at 31st March, as you can see, we have a cash balance of about 56 million. This includes the 28 million that was raised last year in an equity placement. In terms of our debt balance, we have about slightly more than 480 million in terms of debt. And if you look at the debt equity ratio, it is about 1.3, or debt to capital about 56.5%. Just a reminder to all our loans are hedged either with an interest rate swap or it's hedged or hedged naturally. And this is to enable us to realize a stable distribution to our investors. Total assets stood at about 883 million, of which 821 comprised vessels on long-term leases. NAV per share per unit is at 62 cents versus 64 cents as of December.
US, huh?
US cents, that's right. Coming to slide 12, this slide shows our cash flow statement. As you can see, we cash flow from operating activities generated about 22.5 million, of which all of it was used either to pay down bank loans or and distributed to unit holders. I won't dwell on this slide. Coming on to the next slide, 13. This graph shows the cash generation over the last five quarters. It's quite steady, as you can see, because our portfolio remains relatively unchanged. So the cash flows that we generate, we use to pay down debt as well as distribution to unit holders. As we mentioned earlier, we have contracted cash flows of in excess of 700 million, and this will continue to enable us to distribute as well as to pay down our regular debt amortization. Turning to slide 14, this is a historical representation of our DPU that the trust has paid out since IPO. As you know, we have changed our distribution policy since Q1 09 from a full payout to a fixed distribution. So we have been consistently paying out generous distribution to our unit holders. And I'd like to reiterate our guidance for Q2, which is also at 1.5 cents US cents per unit. On slide 15, this is a slide that gives us details on our credit facility. Outstanding debt as of 31st March is 484 million, of which we have paid down about 7 million in during April, and so now it stands at 477 million. We have a loan amortization of 8 million per quarter, and this will expire in the middle of next year. We also do not have any order books that require additional financing. In fact, our first loan maturity is due in April 2012. So, and in terms of compliance with our lenders, we are in full compliance with our loan covenants. With that, I hand it over back to Philip for the outlook and concluding remarks.
Yeah, thank you, Chitam. The way we look at the industry as the industry as a whole, which is obviously the industry we are serving, is as follows. We are clearly witnessing that demand generally for shipping capacity is on a recovery path, and I think as it relates to container ships, consensus view is now that we are probably beyond the point where we can only talk about inventory restocking. It now looks clearly to be the case that we see some sustainable demand recovery in the container ship sector, and that is very encouraging. I'll be very honest with you. If you had told me in the middle of last year that we would be where we are right now in the container shipping industry, I would have not thought that was possible. It's quite a remarkable recovery, and that is obviously a very, very encouraging sign. I've talked earlier a little bit about asset values. Those are slowly improving. That's certainly the case for container ships and tankers as we see it right now. The dry bulk carrier values are also holding very firm. I will tell you, however, that we are a little bit concerned about the sustainability of values in the dry bulk sector. Not because we are negative on the demand outlook for dry bulk ships, but as we have been saying for some time, we think the supply or the order book that has yet to deliver in dry bulk might prove to be overwhelming. And in fact, over the last few months, and we are seeing it right now as well. Again, there is weakness in the freight rates for dry bulk carriers, whereas tankers, in particular crude oil carriers, at this point are clearly outperforming the dry bulk sector. Something that we have been saying as our outlook or as our view for 2010 consistently since the summer of last year. And we wouldn't be surprised as we are heading towards the end of this year if the tanker market improves even further, but the dry bulk sector struggles maybe around the levels that we are currently seeing. On the financing or on the access to capital point, which is obviously a very important one for our industry, we are very encouraged to see that banks are coming now out and are approaching selective borrowers which have proven to be responsible during time of crisis and which have proven to be good borrowers and are indicating that they are willing once again to support those borrowers in their growth plans, and fortunately we are included in that group. Without naming names, I can tell you we have had a number of banks come to us in the first quarter this year, telling us that they were pleased with how we have managed through the crisis, and that if we had interesting growth projects, that they would be very willing in potentially supporting us in those. Obviously, not at the old price points. Clearly, interest margins have increased. They have come down from last year, but they are still well above previous levels. If you ask me what a good guidance for us as a potential borrower in today's environment would be, I would tell you it would probably be around LIBOR plus 250. That is where pricing for secured bank loans would be, and that is probably for leverage of 60%, so loan to value of 60% at price points of 250 over LIBOR is where we would expect it to be, plus minus 10%. I will also tell you that the banks that do have approached us are primarily Asian banks, which is no great surprise to me, because the Asian banks have been significantly less impacted by A, the financial crisis, and B, the shipping crisis. And as such, you know, they are now coming forward. They are seeing an opportunity. And the fact that we are headquartered in Singapore, and that we have in our lender group today some Asian banks, is clearly helpful in that regard. And that makes us quite hopeful for our ability to potentially lift acquisition projects again going forward, over and above the cash that we are looking to deploy here in the near term. So we think that's an important change from what we have told you last quarter. It looks like the banks are back selectively, at least in Asia, and are willing to back companies like ourselves. Now, with regards to our first acquisition, as I like to call it, after the crisis, we told you in the last quarterly call that we were now starting to look at acquisition opportunities again and deploy the cash that we had raised in our equity placement in September, October last year. That is now making a very good progress. I can't give you a precise timeline, but let me just tell you, we've been very busy in the first quarter analyzing various deals, and we are now really on the home stretch in that regard. I will tell you, it's significantly more difficult to deploy $28 million than it is to deploy, for example, $100 million in this industry, given its capital intensity, because obviously when you want to do a deal, even if it's a small deal, you want to make sure that you have the right credit quality on the other side as a lessee, and that requires some significant work. But again, it's looking very, very good. We have identified what we want to buy, and we are very much in the home stretch here. And you should expect something from us, not in a matter of quarters, but in a matter of maybe weeks or a month or two. That's sort of the guidance we can give you, and I've already said too much in that regard. As far as our bond offering is concerned, that is still sitting there in terms of being ready. We are ready in all regards. We are monitoring the market very closely. Let me just say that the high yield market in the United States has been far more buoyant than it has been in Asia. We are now seeing some renewed activity in the high-yield market here in Asia, particularly some Chinese property developers coming to the market. The high-yield market in Asia is by far not as deep as the U.S. market. There are not that many institutional players, As such, we have to tread very carefully. Obviously, if we bring this deal back, we want it to be successful. We have to do the marketing quietly behind the scenes. We will tell you, and I think we have said this in the first quarter call, we will only do that. We are not forced to do that. We will only do that on terms that we deem beneficial. Terms that we deem beneficial refer, A, to pricing and B, to covenants. We have very clear ideas what we want to achieve in that regard. If we can, great. If we can't, then frankly, life goes on. This is the way that we pursue this. Generally speaking, we are looking continuously at all capital raising options and all instruments that are out there, because we think that's our job, and we will only do what makes sense for the trust and the unit holders going forward. And with that, I think this is the end of our slides. With that, I'm happy to opening it up for Q&A and take your questions.